When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a statement sent. One of these teams proved itself a legit championship contender last night. We'll tell you which one. Then all the dealing is doing. Our intel says New York is looking to take a giant step up. We'll tell you which QB it is they want. And then, I'm sorry, what? You need to hear what Jerry Jones said about his quarterback yesterday. We'll tell you exactly what he really meant as we get up with you starting right now. Make some noise,
baby.
Let's go. It's a Wednesday. Oh, now you know we're getting serious. Look at RC in the fit today. Looking awful good. D Wood is ready to go. Legs is going to knock down some jumpers, some threes if you choose. Adam Schefter is ready to go this morning. Windy is ready to go. The draft is tomorrow. We have a ton to get to there, but let's start by running the floor. NBA action last night. Windy, let's go through the games. How did the Pacers tie things up in their East Series against Milwaukee?
Pascal Siakam with 37 points, new career high. How about in the playoffs? How about this? He's the first player to open a playoff series with two 35-point, 10-rebound games since Wilt Chamberlain in 67. Dominant performance gets the first road win for any team in the playoffs thus far.
Still no Giannis. Legs, Minnesota, a dominant second half, and beat Phoenix to go up 2-0. Does that series feel over?
It does to me. I just don't know if Phoenix collectively is mentally tough enough, and I don't know if they're physically tough enough. This is a terrible matchup for them because of the defense of Minnesota Timberwolves. They pressure out on the perimeter, and they funnel you to all that size. You can't have three superstars, Greeny, offensively, and none of those guys are exceptional in a given night, which is what happened last night as a result down 0-2.
The truth is, when the Timberwolves were healthy this year, they were the best team in the West. Finally, Windy, how did Dallas spoil the return of Kawhi and even up that series?
Tremendous defensive performance. This team was the best defensive team in the league over the last 20 games of the season. We didn't know if it would carry over to the playoffs. Holding the Clippers to under 100 points and 37% shooting, their worst shooting night of the season. That's right. The Mavericks won a game with defense. I never thought I'd see it, and that's why people think they got a real shot in the West.
One of those people is standing right next to me. Legs, you have been on this Mavericks bandwagon since the trade deadline and some of the moves they made. Do they look, again, they played a terrible first half in game one of this series. For the six quarters that have ensued, do they look like the legit threat in the West you think they were?
They do to me. And we just talked about the defense. Windy just gave a great number on that over the last 20 games. But I think for me, when you add that with the way the new pieces fit and the control of Luka Doncic in close games, that's the biggest X factor. The fact that Luka Doncic cannot be affected in controlling possessions, and he did it again in the fourth quarter of this game. Now, look, I think this was a critical game for Dallas, because Kawhi Leonard is coming back into this series. It's a matter of time before he finds his rhythm. You've got to get them early while he's trying to find it. So this was basically a one-possession game, 6 minutes to go. Absolutely have to get it. Luka delivers the goods late, and he got some help. P.J. Washington was huge, couple corner threes. Kleber hit a three. Kyrie helped. It was a collective offensive performance, but their defense is something we never talk about. They have been exceptional on that end of the floor.
Look, the one thing that we're all trying to figure out is who's a legitimate threat to beat Denver in the Western Conference. They're up 2-0 on the Lakers right now. If Monica McNutt was sitting here with us this morning, she'd be yelling and screaming, don't forget Minnesota, don't forget Minnesota. Windy, who do you identify as the biggest threat to Denver in the West?
I think it's Dallas, and it's because of the maturity of Luka Doncic. I mean, this was probably the best defensive game he's played in his career. The Clippers shot 2 of 17. I'm going to say this again. The Clippers shot 2 of 17 with Luka as the primary defender. This guy's been a defensive hole most of his career. He's getting it done at both ends. Plus, the Clippers were throwing double teams at him, Greeny. He just handled it. He knows where to go with the ball. He's got teammates who can stretch the floor. Kyrie Irving with an under-control performance. A very second-stage, mature performance by Luka. This is a warning sign for the rest of the league that he's developing like this.
They're on the other side of the bracket, by the way. They wouldn't get Denver till the conference final. Is it Dallas for you?
That's huge for me, yeah. Unfortunately for Minnesota, if they are able to get past this series, Denver's the next team you see. That's not the case for Dallas. That's why all that seeding that last week of the season was so fascinating to see how it was going to play out. Now, look, this series is a long way from over, right? Kawhi Leonard is going to have his imprint all over this thing at some point. But for me, it's Luka Doncic. He separates the two teams because of his ability to get what he needs for his team in every big spot.
We finally had some road teams win last night. Much more on the hoops as we go. But, of course, the NFL draft is tomorrow. Adam Schefter is with us from Detroit this morning. Schefty, we're always the ones asking you the questions. This morning, I want you to ask the questions. What are your three big questions going into tomorrow night?
Well, the first one would be, Greeny, how many quarterbacks wind up going in round one? Here's the thing. There are teams that need quarterbacks at 1, 2, and 3 in the draft. Maybe 6 with the New York Giants. Then again at 11 with Minnesota, 12 with Denver, 13 with Las Vegas. That's 7 in the first 13 that have some type of quarterback need. That doesn't even include the Seattle Seahawks, potentially the Los Angeles Rams, the Dallas Cowboys, and others. So the demand for quarterbacks exceeds the supply, which should drive up the number in the first round. And then the next question will be, which is the first team to trade back in the draft? And I think the first team could be New England, depending on the types of offers that they get. They're more inclined to stay at 3 and not move out of that spot. The signs point to Jaden Daniels going 2. That would leave New England on the clock. They might like Drake May. They might like J.J. McCarthy. Certainly Minnesota would like to get one of these quarterbacks as well. And so we'll see how that shakes out with the Patriots being the first potential trade back, the Cardinals at 4 potential trade back, and the Chargers. And then what's the connection between Drake May and J.J. McCarthy? Greeny, here's what I would say. Right now, it certainly seems like these two quarterbacks are destined to wind up in one way or another with New England and Minnesota. Minnesota and New England, whichever way you want to slice it up. Does Minnesota get up to 3 or not? Does New England stay at 3 or not? Does New England take Drake May 3? Does it trade back and try to get J.J. McCarthy? It feels like those two teams are vying over those two particular quarterbacks, and we will get to see how this all shakes out once you arrive to Detroit, and we get going tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'll be there. RC will be the whole crew. We're coming out after the show today. But let's talk more about May for a minute, because a team you did not mention in that is the Giants. And our Giants reporter, Jordan Renan, on his podcast, went through a scenario in which the Giants could be in play for Drake May.
The Giants are looking into trading up in the draft. Number 3 with the New England Patriots. Number 4 with the Arizona Cardinals. Those are the two sweet spots. Number 4 still seems more likely to me, but when you talk to league sources, the belief is that if the Giants move up and they do trade, and they're trying to trade up, it's for Drake May.
Shefty, what are we hearing there?
Well, here's the issue with that. The Giants would have to trade up to get to number 3. I don't think Drake May is going to be on the board at number 4. So 4 becomes a moot point, and I think it limits the Cardinals' leverage some. So we're talking about 3, and Minnesota also is going to want to get up. And which is the more desperate quarterback team, Minnesota or New York? I would say Minnesota. Which is the team that has an extra first-round draft choice? Minnesota. So Minnesota is better armed, more desperate than the Giants at 6. I think the Giants have done a ton of work into the quarterbacks, but it feels like they would take a quarterback if it worked out for them in the right situation. I don't know that they're going to take this big swing at a quarterback when they have these other needs as well, and they already paid Daniel Jones a year ago. Could it happen? Absolutely. That's part of the fascination of the draft. But the Vikings are better armed, more desperate, more anxious to make that move, and we'll see whether the Giants can figure out a way to get in front of them or New England to take Drake May. But I think the signs point to Drake May going 3 right now, so the Giants would have to get there.
All right. Well put. I'm told you have a call to take, so go take that, then break a story in a minute with us here. Shefty, there's no more exciting sentence than Shefty has a call to take. So let him do that, and he'll be with us as the morning goes on. What do we think of that? You got Minnesota wants up. The Giants want up. The Patriots control that, basically, right? The Patriots get to decide if they stay where they are or move out. How do you see it?
Well, I think, though, if you're the New England Patriots, you have to look at yourself and say, we aren't just a quarterback away. There's a ton that we have to do on this team to put us back at playoff caliber play. And so I want to see what teams are willing to offer to get up and get Drake May. I want to see what you'd want if you want to get up and get J.J. McCarthy. You have a guy like Jacoby Brissett who started in this league. He's been experienced in this league. He understands leadership. Gerard Mayo should have the leash and the leverage to build a football team. So hell yeah, I want you to call. I want you to make sure you let me know what you're willing to give. I'm trying to get a Trey Lance plus sort of haul for one of these quarterbacks. But when you listen to what we're hearing from Shefty about the New York Giants, they aren't really working to get in that spot. And right now you got Hyatt, Slayton, Robinson. It don't matter who the quarterback is. He ain't got nobody to throw to.
Right.
It don't matter who the quarterback is. Ain't nobody to protect him. And so maybe you should start building a team so when you do get a quarterback, he has an opportunity to succeed.
You know, when you brought up the point about the Patriots, we've been talking about, like, the Patriots don't really have an infrastructure right now to really support a rookie quarterback. Right now, and you got Jacoby Brissett. If you're able to get one of these desperate teams to move up and give you a king's ransom, for that, I mean, that to me makes the most sense in the world. But as far as I want to go back to Drake May, like Drake May, the prospect, and we talk about the New York Football Giants. I think people don't understand this one aspect. And Ryan, we were talking about this in the production meeting. Like, Drake May seems like the forgotten quarterback. We talked about all these other guys except Drake May. Drake May comes from an athletic family. Both his mom and pop were really good athletes. He's a very good multi-sport athlete, which, by the way, people value that. Like, evaluators value guys that are really good in multiple sports. And I think that going to a place like the Giants, and you talked about the Giants, and trust me, they don't have a lot to support him. But I will say they do have Daniel Jones. You let Daniel Jones play while at the same time continue to build.
You want Daniel Jones to be somebody tutor?
No.
You trying to fail the class.
No, what I want is I want Brian Daboll to be the tutor, because you know who Brian Daboll's with? Josh Allen.
Right.
For sure.
Let me throw a different thought at you here, and I like the way you're thinking. There is a scenario, I don't know how likely this is, maybe Shefty could tell us, but where the first five picks in some order are Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Joe Alt, the tackle, and Marvin Harrison Jr. That would leave the Giants choosing between taking the quarterback J.J. McCarthy or taking wide receiver Malik Nabers, who people love out of LSU. If you're there, which one do you do?
To me, you take wide receiver Malik Nabers. Now, I think we have
not the quarterback.
Not
if
the quarterback.
He falls to
not
you.
The quarterback. You gotta love the quarterback, right? The last time this team picked at six, Daniel Jones was sitting there, and they picked Daniel Jones because that's the quarterback that they had to take. That's the quarterback that they settled on, and that's the reason you're in this position again. Let's not let history repeat itself. People say that success leaves footprints. Well, you know what else? Failure leaves chalked out bodies, right? So let's make good decisions based on what we've seen in our history. If the quarterback's your guy, you get him. If he's not, you pick a good player at that position.
I think that's going to
be a linchpin.
The biggest thing Ryan said is, like, you got to love that guy.
Yeah.
Like, you got to love the guy.
I like that. I like that expression a lot. Everyone stay where you are. Shefty's with us this morning. He's got news to come. I've got to get him on this. Could Jim Harbaugh actually be contemplating reuniting with J.J. McCarthy? There is sneaky big news out there that indicates the answer to that could somehow be yes. We'll explain. Plus, Jerry Jones had a lot to say yesterday about his quarterback. We will make sense of it all, even if it doesn't actually make sense, as we get up with you on the day before the draft on ESPN.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/getup, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/getup to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/getup.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Get Up is brought to you by the DQ Freezer, home to all Blizzard Treat flavors of the past, only at participating DQ locations. Happy tastes good. And before we go any farther, RC, you are a man who was good at almost everything. Can you explain this to us here?
So this was Chris Long's charity event, and someone just handed me a club, Greeny. I wasn't even out there to play. Look, I got on jeans, and then he handed me a club that's for little people. That's not a 6 foot man's golf club. And then somebody must have blew the ball or something as I was trying to, but you know what? This shows you that you don't have to be great at everything to be good at something. Yeah. So for all you people who can't play golf, don't worry about it. It's a freaking hard game.
Yeah, or on the reverse side, there's one thing I'm better than you at. Okay, NFL draft starts tomorrow. RC, let's put you to work at the things you're very good at. Let's play a game called Who You Got, all right? Star receivers at the top. You got Maserati Marv or Malik Nabers?
I have Malik Nabers, and I know people are going to say that he's an LSU homer, but I've watched this kid progress throughout his career at LSU. Think Amon-Ra St. Brown with 4.35 speed. Think about Ja'Marr Chase, whose measurables are extremely close to Malik Nabers. The way that this kid can move and is positionless as you use him at the wide receiver position is going to be big for any team that drafts him in his rookie season.
All right, Shefty said these two quarterbacks are going to be considered together. Who you got, Drake May or J.J. McCarthy?
I got Drake May. And listen, one, because I've seen Drake May carry a team. I saw the North Carolina Tar Heels put the football in his hands and say, we are only going to go as far as you can take us. And I do believe he has the most untapped potential of any quarterback that's in this draft. He seemed to be the forgotten man from a sense of the media standpoint, but I know teams are very high on his talent and his upside.
And then how about the top two in most people's opinion, Caleb or J.J.? Jaden, who you got?
Caleb Williams. Listen, Caleb Williams, from the time that he took over for Spencer Rattler when he was at Oklahoma, has been an absolute star. He's gone above and beyond the X's and O's, and I believe he's made Lincoln Riley look better at both Oklahoma and USC. This kid can make every throw on the field, and then there are some throws that only he and maybe Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen can make.
Well, everyone has weighed in on that decision, but ultimately there's only one person whose opinion matters, and that is Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Bears, and he was talking this week about what has his team leaning towards Caleb as they make that decision.
Came across as a really good teammate, easy to talk to, down to earth. You know, we've talked through this process about the whole Hollywood thing. He's all ball, wants to work, wants to get better, wants to win as a team. That's the number one thing for him. on top of being successful. I think the biggest thing is, like, does he fit in our culture and what we're trying to do? And all signs were that he does. So that was positive.
Look, we all know that that's the direction that one is going. Yeah. You had him on the pivot recently. Yeah. Give me the one thing that stood out the most to you.
Maturity. And I feel like we've been trying to make this kid immature. We've been trying to make this young man someone who couldn't lead a locker room. He was so self-aware. He understood perceptions and how he could move with his actions in order to affect those things. This is also a young man that had his own apartment in high school. We've never heard of Caleb Williams doing things late nights that he shouldn't be doing things away from the football field that he shouldn't be doing. And I think we've built this narrative up about him that he isn't the sort of person that could fit in with professional football players. And I believe that's absolutely wrong. The other thing that stood out to me, he said in the eighth grade, he went to his father and said, I want to be a quarterback. I don't want to play all these other positions people try to make me play. He said from that point of his life, he had a regimen, whether it was nutritionist, whether it was training, a certain way that he had to work and live in order to be where he is. He was prepared for this moment, and I believe that matters.
What do you think of this? It's a huge situation here because there are a lot of quarterbacks in this draft. The Bears made a decision to move away from one who many people believe has a lot of potential. And he walks into a team that wasn't in the NFL last year. So there will be expectations on him immediately.
Absolutely. But, I mean, listen, if you're Caleb Williams, what a great situation to probably be walking into in Chicago. I mean, think about it. I can't even remember a number one pick having the type of infrastructure that the Chicago Bears are going to be giving him from day one, whether you're talking about offensive line, which, you know, it's a pretty good offensive line. You know, you're talking about DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, you know, DeAndre Swift. Like, the list goes on and on. The Chicago Bears have really done a really good job of using their assets to really form this team around this potential number one quarterback. And I mean, listen, you've heard me rave about Minnesota Vikings. Chicago Bears is a really
good team. But isn't that what you're supposed to do, though? Like, Greeny, when you found out that you were going to be a father, you didn't tell your wife, hey, let's not do nothing in preparation, and then when the baby gets here, let's wing it. Right. No, you're going to make sure you have the crib. You're going to set up the room. You're going to make sure you have what it takes in order to raise the child properly. That's what the Chicago Bears have done.
Finally.
They understood that they had this pick, and they had an opportunity to have a young man be successful.
Let me get Shefty in here because, Adam, they not only are choosing Caleb Williams ahead of Jaden Daniels and Drake May, but also ahead of Justin Fields, who was right there and they could have made that decision. Take me through their decision process best we know it.
Well, listen, I think the Chicago Bears felt like it was time to move forward, and you had to make a decision on Justin Fields where basically it's a situation where there's a fifth-year option that you have to pick up or not pick up. And it's $25 million, and the Bears were not going to do that. And so they traded him to the Pittsburgh Steelers because they wanted to give him a fresh start. Pittsburgh was interested in him. He was interested in Pittsburgh, and they decided to give him that start, competing with Russell Wilson. Oh, by the way, the Steelers aren't expected to pick up the fifth-year option, so that means that Justin Fields and Russell Wilson both will be in the last year of their deals in Pittsburgh.
That's Adam Schefter battling through all kinds of technical issues.
Hey, Adam, slung that high of
beam in Detroit. He is ready to go. All right, as we continue, more from the hoops, more from the football. I'm sorry, what? Did you hear what Jerry Jones said about his quarterback yesterday? You need to hear this, and then we will all try and figure out together exactly what he means. Because if he means what I think he means, we've got a lot of talking to do. Plus, as I mentioned, the Hoops, they're down Love 2. Should the Sixers consider sitting their superstar? Windy has a definitive answer that you will not want to miss next.
Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, as we approach the bottom of the hour, we are back here on Get Up, and we're going to Dallas the day before the draft, because Jerry Jones sat down before his draft press conference. He spoke a lot of words. I mean, a lot of words. One of them was he added this detail to his contract negotiations with Dak Prescott while keeping his options open. Just listen.
We want Dak Prescott. So, that's that. We want Dak, and we think that there's room for growth.
Why not work on those deals earlier so that you have the flexibility to go get those veterans that have led to success in the last two postseasons?
Well, we'd like to see some more leaves fall. We'd like to see some more action. So it's called option quarterback. I've spent my life being an option quarterback. It'd be madness not to know that the contracts are ahead. I want to see a few more cards played.
Okay, what?
Yo!
What exactly? I mean, look at him. RC is fr- what did
freaking
he say?
Jerry, Tommy Frazier, Jones. We bring it back to triple option. You don't know if Jerry gonna give the dive. You don't know if he gonna pitch it. If he gonna keep it. I don't know what Jerry Jones talking about.
If you just wrote down the words he said, he said he thinks there's room for growth in Dak. He wants to see a few more leaves fall before he makes the decisions, apparently on him, C.D. Lamb, and Micah Parsons, because he's an option quarterback, so he likes to keep his options open. He wants to see a few more cards played. That's what he said.
Yeah, Jerry.
He said he's not ready to make this decision.
Jerry Jones sounds like a reality TV star that has an opportunity to pick his future wife. Like, he feels like he has options. But you look at where this team is, and we've talked about the Dallas Cowboys throughout the entire offseason. They've done nothing to get better, and all they've done is lose players at important positions.
Right.
Now you're going to count on your 6 or 7 draft picks to try to fill those spots.
And that's not
the way it works. And when you ask or when you say you want to see some growth or there's still some growth in Dak Prescott, Dak Prescott is who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott's not going to get faster. His arm's not going to get stronger. It's going to be more difficult for experience to change who he is at this point because he's already had so much up until this year. And so when Jerry Jones is thinking about his decision-making with Dak Prescott, it's either you want him now or you don't. Because it's going to be the same situation next year. But on top of that, you're going to have to pay CeeDee Lamb after Justin Jefferson gets paid. You know that Michael Parsons and his agent are going to be knocking on the door for the biggest defensive contract in football history. You have now handicapped and strapped your team, and they're in trouble if you're thinking about the Dallas Cowboys.
Do we have an interpreter at this table?
D would have shook.
I mean, yeah, I really am, man, because I honestly, Granny, I don't know what the hell going on in Dallas. Because right now, the Dallas Cowboys are a much worse team than they were last year.
Yep.
Bottom line, they've had many guys, defections in free agency, and let's just be real. Like, even if they knock it out of the park in the draft, it still won't be enough for all the holes that the Dallas Cowboys have on their roster right now. And then this whole thing about, you know, about Dak Prescott. And, like, Dak Prescott went from a fourth-round pick to playing MVP-type ball last year. Like, how much more growth are we going to see out of Dak Prescott?
Is
like, this is who Dak – like you said, this is who Dak Prescott is. Either you're going to marry the man or you're going to let him walk out the door. Which one is it going to be? Because right now, the way he's talking, like this thing sounds like it's going to be a divorce. But
what he's doing is, unless he feels like, okay, I already have a plan and I'm comfortable drafting a rookie quarterback and starting this thing entirely over, he's giving Dak Prescott all the negotiating power. Dak Prescott, if he plays even similar to what he played, hell, he don't even have to play that good.
But we saw
what the world was for Kirk Cousins this year in the offseason. Dak Prescott is going to get paid $60 million next year, whether it's the Dallas Cowboys or it's not. And if you aren't sold on him, you're telling your team, you're telling your locker room, we are ready to start this thing over with the rookie quarterback who you don't even know who the hell that's going to be.
Arson, you know what's, man, like Dak Prescott got to be looking at Jerry Sanders. All this, it's got to be laughing. He's like, bro, you don't even have – I got all the leverage here. Like, this isn't even about you. Like, if Dak Prescott wants to test free agency next year, Dak Prescott's going to test free agency because it's not a damn thing that the Dallas Cowboys are going to do about it. And we literally sat here talking about all the spots that some of these teams need as far as quarterbacks in this draft. There are so many teams that need a quarterback right now. Dak Prescott just sitting back like.
But the other part is this, though. If you're Dak Prescott, you also have to be upset because they aren't setting him up for success. If Dak Prescott's goal is to win a championship, and you know those goals of championships give you MVPs, they give you all pros, they give you the big contracts, he's not put in a place to do that. Everything that we said the Chicago Bears have done for a rookie quarterback, the Dallas Cowboys have done the exact opposite. CeeDee Lamb isn't showing up because CeeDee Lamb doesn't have a contract. CeeDee Lamb isn't moving close to that. Right. He also knows he has a quarterback who's on a lame duck contract. You have a head coach who had to go hire Jim Harbaugh's agent, and he can't help. I don't care if he get damn Jerry Maguire with this team. Mike McCarthy is gone. And so you look at all the things that are happening. I don't care if the tree got to grow. I don't care if you got to run the triple option. I don't care if you're going to play poker, if you're going to play 21, if you're going to play Blu-ray when you see the Cards played. The Cards going to say you're a worse team now than you were last year. You're going to have to pay your quarterback or let him walk. You're going to be bad this year, and you're going to be worse coming up in 2025.
And the most important point that I think was made here is that maybe for the first time, Jerry Jones is not in control of that situation.
No.
Dak Prescott is in total control of what winds up happening from here. And that is an unusual place for any football player to be, much less in Dallas. Hey, you can check out promos like Seeing Green exclusively in our ESPN Bet app. As the official sportsbook of ESPN, it is the only place to find offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download today. What a play. All right, as we turn our attention to the NBA, can everyone just check out the emotional roller coaster that our beloved colleague Monica McNutt went through in the final seconds of the Knicks win the other night?
Into the corner. Brunson, pump fake, three-pointer, left side, front rim, gets the roll. Three-pointer is good. It's a two-point game. Knicks down two with 27 seconds to go. Inbound is knocked away by Maxey, gets the ball back, falls to the floor, stolen by Hart. DiVincenzo, three-pointer, no good. Hartenstein, the offensive rebound, he kicks it out to Anunoby. DiVincenzo again, knocks it down. Knicks lead, 13 seconds to go.
How awesome was that? The expression, I think, spoke for all of us. I was talking to her about it yesterday morning before we came on the air. She said the only thing going through her mind was, say something smart.
Right,
something smart, because everyone was just completely out of their minds at the moment was happening.
Yeah, it's what a great reaction, just in the moment watching that. We all felt that way. That was me sitting in my hotel room watching the game. I had the same look on my face.
She's the best, and that's the reason why, because she's as passionate about it as any of the fans are. Now, in the meantime, during that sequence, as we discussed yesterday, the officials got everything wrong. The two-minute report came out yesterday, and as you and Jay Will pointed out, and we talked about with Stephen A. and everything else, they said that after Jalen Brunson made that three, Nick Nurse tried to call a timeout. He should have been granted a timeout. And then Maxey was fouled not once, but twice on the play where they got the ball away from him. So, I understand why they do these two-minute reports. I respect the reason, but this is one of those cases where I almost feel it does more harm than good because nothing's going to change.
I can't stand it. I'll use a golf analogy, right? You're a golfer. It's walking up to a hole you've never played before. You're standing next to your caddy. It's a dogleg left. You smoke a drive, 320 yards. It wraps around perfectly. You think it's beautiful. You walk up there. You find out your ball rolled into the water. And your caddy goes, yeah, you probably should use a three wood. It doesn't do any good.
Right.
And what does it affect? All that's doing right now is making people in Philadelphia lose their collective minds. I can't stand the two-minute report. I never have. I understand the point. They're trying to say, hey, there's transparency here.
Yeah.
We're not going to act like these things didn't happen. The problem is this does not rectify a critical, critical moment in this series.
Yeah, I respect the reason for it. And yet now we go on. And so, Wendy, I had the delight this morning of asking Brian Windhorst a question on our production call and then observing his reaction. I'll let you all have that same delight. Wendy, there are people who believe that Joel Embiid should not be playing in this series because of the way he looks and the injury he clearly has. What is your reaction to that?
I am absolutely baffled where this concept came from. Why would that be the case? He has been cleared to play by the doctors. He has elected to play, and he is playing, and he's averaging 31 points a game in this series. He's not rebounding well. He's not shooting well, but he is playing for a reason. You want to know why? Because it's very hard for him to get on the court in the playoffs, period. He has had knee injuries in the playoffs two of the last 3 years. Twice in his career, Greeny, he has missed playoff games with different orbital bone fractures. That's right. Two different times he's broken his orbital bone. If he can get on the court for a game in the playoffs, he's going to get on the court. He's a $250 million asset, one of the greatest players in the history of the 76ers. They are not clearing him to play unless they think he can go. Take that off the table. I know he's not 100%. I know it doesn't look great out there. He is playing because he can, and that is his standard, and we understand that. And if you look at his injury history in the playoffs, you understand why when he's available to play, he's gonna when he has a chance.
Completely agree. He needs to be out there, but here's the problem. It's not just, he's playing well. The numbers look good. He's a completely different player. He's been relegated to being a small forward or a guard. That's how he's operating offensively. This is a guy that averaged 14 points a game in the paint in the regular season. Right? He's got half that so far in two games. And it looks like it's trending in the wrong direction because he didn't go near the paint in the second half of game two. Everything he did was on the perimeter. Bottom line is he's so big and skilled, he can still make shots over people from those distances. But when he's at his best and when the Sixers have a real chance of being a threat in the East, he's the dual threat offensively that dominates you all over the floor. He just can't do that now because he doesn't have the lift.
That said, they could easily have won game one. They could easily have won game two. And that report we showed you suggests maybe they should have. Can they still win this series? Quickly, legs, yes or no?
I personally don't think they're going to win this series. Would I be shocked if they went home and won a couple games in Philadelphia? I would not, because there's a lot of inconsistencies on the part of the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't some juggernaut offensively. They've got a margin for error, the Sixers, in this series. I'm concerned, though, the way Embiid looks. Is he going to be able to dominate defensively and on the glass the way he needs to win the series? I don't necessarily think they can.
I mean, I feel like if you just parachuted in from another planet and didn't know anything else and just watched these two games, you would think the Sixers were the better team, and yet they've lost both of the games. We will see. Much more from Wendy as we go. In the meantime, I can't wait to get to this because something very, very strange was brought to my attention this morning. And I need Adam Schefter and everybody else to explain it to me. Could we be seeing a reunion between that coach and his old quarterback? Don't miss this next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
I'm Eminem. This is Roger Goodell. And we are so fired up this year for the NFL Draft.
Live from the D.
You can just say Detroit.
That's what I said.
You said the D.
Detroit!
Am I being punked?
D.
Find the person whose idea that was and give them a raise. Yeah. Give them a promotion, whatever it takes, right? That's
hey,
awesome.
Hey, man, you know what they say? It's so cold in the D. You don't know about that, Green. I'm going to put you on.
I don't, but I'm going to smile and pretend I do. Okay. Meanwhile, hold everything. I need Schefter, because this was brought to my attention this morning, and we need to dive into it. What you were looking at are the prop bet on ESPN Bet for the chances that the Chargers draft a quarterback with their pick in the first round. It opened at 100-1, which sounds about right. They have Justin Herbert. What on earth would they be doing taking a quarterback? Earlier this week, it moved to 15-1, which seemed odd. As we speak, it is 6-1 that the Chargers will draft a quarterback in round one. Bear in mind that their coach is Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh, and no one knows this better than Schefter does with his Michigan connections, waxes rhapsodic about J.J. McCarthy every chance he gets. They love each other. They won a national championship together. I'm just putting two and two together. Schefter, what should I make of the fact that the odds have moved from 100-1 to 6-1 that Harbaugh takes a quarterback?
Well, here's my question. Is it that the Chargers draft a quarterback, or is it that a quarterback goes in the 5 slot?
Do we asked the same question. Yes, I asked the same question. It is the Chargers taking a quarterback.
And to that I say there's a sucker born every minute, because there's no chance in hell that the Chargers are drafting a quarterback tomorrow night.
Okay.
None. Not happening. Now, would Jim Harbaugh love to have sure. They just signed Justin Herbert to a contract extension last summer. They are not drafting J.J. McCarthy, and I don't know why those odds would spike like that. Might there be a quarterback that goes at the 5 spot? Yes, I could see the Chargers trading their spot to a team that wants to move into that spot to go draft maybe J.J. McCarthy. That certainly is possible. But the Los Angeles Chargers will not draft a quarterback at number 5 on Thursday night.
That suggests a lot of people are about to lose a lot of money. And, Schefter, look, I'm 100% with you. First of all, you know 1,000 times more than anybody else does. Second of all, it just doesn't seem to make sense. But as we were kicking this around in our meeting this morning, we did come to this, that the Chargers have all kinds of cap problems. Some might look at them as a team that's kind of starting over now after the receivers are gone and some of the rest of that. Yeah. And maybe You do that with a young quarterback who costs a lot less than Justin Herbert, who we all think is terrific but hasn't really won anything. If you're trying to justify it in your mind, you can almost work your way there.
So it's not even about justifying it in your mind. Like, Vegas wasn't built because people are stupid.
That's right.
All of these casinos don't stand because they don't understand the betting lines. And if these lines are getting closer, I believe there could be some smoke to that fire. And on the other end of it, it tells you what people think of Jim Harbaugh. One, they've heard him, like you said, wax poetically about who J.J. McCarthy is, how great he believes he is. So they think that he may take him or want him to be his quarterback. On the other piece, this dude's a wild card. Jim Harbaugh does whatever the hell that he wants to do. You can see that the Los Angeles Chargers have given him the keys to the vehicle. So if he wants to make that decision, I believe that he will. And it's like, okay, we start over here. Somebody's going to want Justin Herbert. If Justin Herbert,
Justin Herbert is
now in a crowded quarterback room, somebody is going to want him. And at the least, if I'm at five and I'm the Chargers, I want people to think I might take a quarterback. Because I wouldn't. I would keep Justin Herbert. But even if I'm not ready to move on from him, I want people to think that just in case they can't make that move at number four and J.J. McCarthy is available at five.
That's fine. That's great. And let me very quickly, D-Wood, before I get you in, let me just show you the things that Harbaugh has said, just in case you haven't been following this. All of these quotes are from this calendar year. On January 1st, after they won the Rose Bowl, he said, "This is the greatest quarterback in University of Michigan college football history." On March 25th, at the league meetings, when he had signed with the Chargers, he said, "Of J.J. McCarthy, I think he plays quarterback, the best of any quarterback in the draft." And then at his pro day, he said, "That was the best throwing day I've ever seen." Again, Shefty just told you there's no chance this is happening. And we're having some technical issues with him. But I will say it again for him. He's saying there's a sucker born every minute. It's not happening. And so I will 100% digest that and move forward. But if you're trying to figure out a reason why it might make sense, there are some dots that you could connect, D. Wood.
Jim Harbaugh coached Andrew Luck.
Yep.
I mean, he's putting him in the same in the same area code as Andrew Luck, the same guy who came in after Peyton Manning and elevated that Indianapolis Colts franchise. When you're comparing J.J. McCarthy to Andrew Luck, like, you're speaking very, very highly of that guy. And we know what the Los Angeles Chargers, RC just spoke about it. Bro, they just got rid of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Yeah. Both of their wide receivers. Like, you could make the case, like, this team is in rebuild mode right now. So if you're going to rebuild, why not rebuild with a cheap quarterback, a guy that you coached at the University
of Michigan? Get assets.
Get assets in, you know, off of that. And build this team in your image.
You could trade Justin Herbert for everything in the world.
The problem, right? You know what happens?
Kill themselves.
Can we be honest about this segment?
Go.
Adam Schefter's a Debbie Downer.
No, he's
Here's
not.
Here's why he's a Debbie Downer.
He is.
Right?
He really
because
is.
When Schefter says it will not happen seven times, you know what I feel like? Well, what the hell are we talking about it for? Because we already know this man's tapped into every single team in the entire NFL.
Go, Shefty.
I asked about this very topic a month ago and was told that all the money on Justin Herbert's contract and new money has not come due, and that to trade him, the cap charge would be well over $100 million, making any trade of Justin Herbert obsolete. So I looked into this about a month ago, and
that's
it was dismissed.
But he's a month ahead of the line. That's the point. Shefty is a month ahead. Again, this is the reason we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Because someone thinks it
Somebody's
might happen.
Putting money on
Shefty knows it won't, but someone thinks it will. That's the reason these things happen.
You know what? Shefty trying to take the spice out of our segment right now.
No, he's not.
He's trying to take the spice out of like this. Like I was so pumped to talk about this topic, and Shefty trying to put water on it right now.
Hey, D-Wood? D-Wood? It's cold in the D. It's cold in the D. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes, Shefty!
Okay. He has even less idea what that means. Okay. Don't miss it. The draft is this week. It's Thursday. It's Friday. It's Saturday. We got every pick on ESPN. It's also available on NFL Network. And as always, ABC will have coverage focusing on the prospect's journey to the draft. The week has finally arrived. Speaking of which, coming up, the dealing is doing. Our intel says New York is looking to take a giant step up. We'll get the very latest from Shefty on which quarterback they want next. It's Get Up on ESPN.